Acts chapter 9 tonight. Acts chapter 9. I think tonight's message for some of us will be, I don't want to say this in a way that makes it sound bad, because it's not a bad thing, but it'll be simple, which is, again, not a bad thing, but I think when we hear simple messages, sometimes they can be for us very profound because they speak to us in a need that we're having at that time. So then hearing something that just seems plain or seems simple becomes for us profound. So my hope tonight that God has something just for you. And as we study the Word of God and we look at this together, I might bring some application or deal with something or say something that you're not either struggling with or dealing with, but you never know. As we study and we look at the Word of God, that it's always so that God has something for all of His people. And so I know God has something for you. Let's start reading in verse 1, even though we preached there this morning. But we'll read 1 all the way to verse 9, the end of verse 9. And then we'll look tonight at verses 6 through 9, but we'll read it all together. So let's stand together. We'll start reading in verse 1, and we'll read all the way to verse 9 of Acts chapter 9. Okay, verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. He fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Lord, rather, he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise, go to the city, and it shall be told thee what to do, what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and his eyes were opened. And when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but was led by him, or rather, but they led him, that would be the soldiers, they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was there, verse 9, and he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. Father, tonight, one more time, we pray your blessings upon your word. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I will get no sympathy for what I'm about to say, not one ounce, and that's okay with me. But in my days, I've changed a few diapers, okay? And my wife, as she's already, I told you, there's no sympathy here, because she's changed far more diapers than I have. But, yes, anyway, so, yeah, one day, brother, you're going to find out. So the diaper situation was tragic for me because I have a horrible gag reflex and I can't stop it. So if I'm changing a diaper and I open that thing up and it's, you know, it's bad news. Bad news. I'll gag. And I'm trying to change it, but I can't stop the gagging. I'm just, you know. And so I never actually lost my lunch or anything, but I can't stop the gagging. You know, the idea along the way for our children is that there will come a point where they don't have to wear diapers anymore, okay? That's our desire. When they hit 4 or 5 years old, in our minds we're thinking, you're too old to wear diapers, you know? And so along the way, you know, you have children and your desire is to potty train them. They don't need to wear diapers anymore. And that's called a part of the process of growing up. Now, along the way, you know, we've had some struggles with a few. I won't point them out. Don't want them to be embarrassed. But, you know, we're thinking, wow, do we need to go back to diapers? You know, but the reality is we shouldn't have to wear them. We should grow because It's part of the process of growing up. Now, as Christians, God wants us to grow. And growing is a series of changes that needs to take place in our life. Like a child who's a baby doesn't need to wear diapers anymore, we as Christians need to get to the point where we're growing and we're able to make transformations in our life so that we're not having to be taken care of as much as we were maybe before. And we're growing. We're learning how to make these changes. We're learning what God wants us to do, and we're doing them. Some changes are difficult. So God leads in our life. He gives us instruction. He gives us correction. There's reproof. There's rebuke. And He teaches us. And the idea is when He teaches us His Word, that we would make transition, that we'd make changes, that we would be a different type of person. We would get ourselves more in line with what God wants us to be and with what God wants us to do. But as I said, change can be hard. The kind of change that God requires can be difficult. And so that challenge makes it hard. And we're not just talking about any kind of change, are we? We're talking about change that God is leading us to make in our life. We're not just talking about outward change. You know, something that's almost forced upon us. Like, for instance, when I would give my children commands and I would ask them to do something, and you know, parents, when you ask your children to do something, when they're doing it with a right attitude or when they're doing it with a wrong attitude. So I'd ask my children, hey, I want you to take out the trash, because they know how to take the trash out, and it's time, the thing is overflowing, we need to take the trash. And so on their way to the trash can to get it, you know, to take it out, in total obedience to their father, here's what they do. Get the trash, tie it up, you know, drag it out, make sure they clunk on every single step, you know, as they're taking it out. You see, yes, they obeyed, but they don't have the right attitude. So we're not just talking about any kind of change. We want change that comes from a heart, flows from a heart of obedience and love and desire to be obedient to God in His commands to us. So change isn't just an outward motion. It's not just something that we conform to. It's something that we, in our hearts, desire to do because God is transforming us into an entirely new person. We've heard about the children at the store who want the toy. But when they receive the toy, their crying stops. I want the toy, I want the toy. And we hear them screaming and kicking in the grocery cart or the cart at the store. And mom wants them to stop crying, so she gives them the toy. Well, they stop crying. Does that mean their attitude is good? No. Does it mean that it's the kind of change that is a good kind of change? No. They changed because they got what they wanted. And God's not looking for that kind of change in us. So that we would make transformation as long as it's just the way that I want it to be. No. God leads us and He wants us to change, but it's a transformation, not being conformed. And there's a difference. Okay? There's a difference in being conformed and a difference in being transformed. Now in Romans chapter 12, listen to what it says. It says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed." Let me have you turn there. It's just real close. Go to Romans chapter 12. Keep your finger here in Acts chapter 9. Romans 12. Let's look at it. Acts, Romans 12. Right after Acts is Romans. There? Okay. Verse 1. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto Him, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So God wants us, you can go back to Acts 9, He wants us to make transformation. He's not interested in being us just being conformed. He wants us to be transformed. And so being conformed, what is that? What's the difference? Well, when you conform yourself, you're just becoming like your surroundings. Like you are becoming like what you're around. We've heard about this happening in the lives of people, and it happens in our lives sometimes. When we, as Christians, it might be that we would conform to where we are, whatever our circumstance. So if you're around, let's say you're a church person, okay, which everyone here would be. But when you leave church and you get around your other friends who maybe have a wrong language, they have bad language, and you get around that, if you conform, then what would you do? Well, you would also have bad language. You're conforming. But then when you come to church, I haven't heard somebody speaking bad language here. I might say something to you if I hear you doing that. We don't talk with wrong language here. So when you come, you don't either. You understand? That's being conformed. It's whatever crowd you're with, that's what you act like. If it has to do with bad language, then maybe that's the way that it is. If it has to do with, you know, something else in regards to just fitting in, then it might be what you do. It's being conformed. Now God, and here's what I'm not saying. I'm not saying that God doesn't want us to be a certain kind of person when we're at church. I just don't think that God is wanting us to be a certain kind of person at church in a way that we're just conforming to the church thing, you know? It's like hypocrisy. He wants us to be what we are at church in our character wherever we are, and that is being transformed. It's the word transformed is to change beyond yourself. So being conformed is to fashion yourself together with another form, and to be transformed is to change beyond yourself into another form. And you're something entirely different. Yeah. And so that's what God wants. So now, because you are transforming, you're not conforming, you're transforming, you get around the crowd that you used to have the language, you know, problems with, and now when you're around them, there's no conforming. You're not speaking the same way. You're not saying the same words. What would the people that are around you begin to say? They would say that something's different about you, right? Something's not the same about you. And they would see that. They would make that observation. And likely they would say, something's different about you. Why? Why would you say that? Well, here's why I say that. Because you are acting like an entirely different person. Ah, that's transformation. When you transform, you are no longer the same type of person in that area. You're an entirely different person. That's what God wants. That's being transformed. Now, it can be hard to transform, make transformations in life. To view things, to see things, to, you know, to make the types of changes that would make us the different kind of person and the kind of person that God wants us to be. And it can be hard because at times it's very humbling. And we've already made observations in our life that it's hard to humble ourselves. It can be really challenging to be humbled. But it's no question that God wants us to make transformation, to be an entirely different type of a person. Now, let me speak to being conformed in a way that is simply, that makes us just religious outward. We can conform to routines, can't we? And as a church, we have certain routines that would be motivated by, you know, where we are or our surroundings. And so getting ourselves involved or conforming ourselves to particular routines, for instance, the music that we either listen to or that we appreciate, if we're conforming, then, you know, we have certain kind of music that we listen to and do at church. Now, there's a certain point where there is music that is appropriate for worship and appropriate for praise and appropriate for the services, you know. There might, along the way, be If I'm listening, if I have a CD playing in my car and there's some songs that I really enjoy listening to, maybe they're a little extra peppy or the message is a real blessing to me. But along the way, I listen to those songs and I think, well, I might not play this song at church. Not because it's a bad song. It just might not be appropriate for the setting. It doesn't necessarily mean it's a bad song or a bad music because I wouldn't play it at church. I wouldn't be ashamed to tell anybody that I would listen to that song. It doesn't mean that anything's wrong with it because I wouldn't have it in church. Now, music and conforming ourselves to a particular standard of music in the church could be something that just is an outward routine with some. Now watch what I mean by that. Because you don't hear me preach about music very much. I can't think of the last time I preached about a genre of music, okay? But whenever we talk about being transformed and being conformed, music is a big deal. Because music is something that is it's easy for us just to conform ourselves to wherever we are. And so I don't have a problem with any kind of music. Well, that means that wherever you are, you can conform to that music, that you can appreciate or like that particular music. Now, here's what I'm trying to say. Not every kind of music is good. Not every kind of music is the kind of music that God wants us to appreciate, to love, and to conform ourselves to. Now, if that's the case, and we have a habit, now watch this. If we have a habit of conforming ourselves, then we are not allowing God in us to make transformation in regards to, let's just say specifically music, that God wants to make transformation in our life. See, music is something that's supposed to honor God. So if you listen to a music and you're listening to this thing and nothing about this music is an honor to God, then something's wrong with it. It's to be an honor to God. Every music that we listen to ought to be an honor to God. So if you're listening to music and it talks about a guy who left his wife and he got drunk and he's on the way home and he got into a wreck or whatever, or he has having a rough day, kicked the dog, I don't know what music, but you're listening to the message in song and it's not a glory to God, then there's a problem. God doesn't want us to conform ourselves to the things of the world. He wants us to make transformation in our life. I think that we can make observation that this is a very clear and simple, but very clear thing that should begin to happen in our life, one thing at a time, one step at a time, when we become saved. Saul, in our text this morning, a big time transformation took place in his life. You know what it was? Salvation. God met with him on the Damascus Road. He was on his way doing his what he thought was for God in destroying Christians. He met Jesus, and we see a transformation. Well, how do you know this is where he got saved? Well, he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" He found out that it was Jesus. And then how did he respond to him after he found out it was Jesus? He said, "Lord, what would thou have me to do?" So it went from, "Who are you? I know you're God," to, "I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord. What do you want me to do?" This is salvation. Now, salvation is the beginning, and now God wants us to make transformations. He wants us to make changes. Not just any kind of a change. Not the kind of change that makes you conformed to whatever your surroundings are, but to be an entirely different person. So that now, when you're hanging around, as we said, a particular crowd, and as we have already talked about music, a music or a genre is taking place, that you would say in your heart, and maybe even to where you are, "I am not comfortable with this music." In your heart, you can definitely say that. "I'm not comfortable with this music." Well, why not? Because it doesn't honor God. And God is making changes in me. You understand? So God wants us to make changes. He wants us to be transformed, not just any kind of a change. Now, why is that? Well, because God wants us to be a testimony. Now, listen, God, we know that God wants us to be a testimony. We know that's true. We've been studying that in Peter. But our character and who we are as a person, it's not because of how we're acting in a particular place. So, okay, we're at church today, or we're in church today, and you're in church right now. And so you're going to act like a church person. Now, here's what I'm not going to judge about you. Well, you act like that at church, but I know how you really are. You know, I don't do that because I don't know any of you to be this way. I don't know of you to be this way. But listen, whenever the world is exposed to us outside of these doors, we're not going to hide. If we're conforming, we're not going to hide who we are in our character from this world. Let me give you an illustration. Who can be my helper tonight? Okay, come up here. I knew you came because you came just because you wanted to be my helper. So come up here. Okay, I forgot your name. Tell me again. I'll try to never forget it again.
Nate,
thank you. I'm a little bit tired too, so. Okay, Nate is going to be a tree. Do a tree pose for us. Like this. That's the branch. Maybe elbow a little bit, hand out. And then just hand it like this. Put one leg out a little bit. Spread. There you go. Oh, now you're looking like a tree. Okay. Good job being a tree. Now, he's a fruit tree, not just any kind of tree. He's a fruit tree. Who likes fruit that comes from a tree? Tell me a fruit that comes off of a tree that you like. Apple. Peaches. The Chad loves those. Pear. I like pears. I grew up, there's a pear tree in our yard. I like them. Oranges. Very good. Caleb. Okay. Thank you for that. What? I don't know whose child he is. Bananas. Yes. I knew that she was going to say banana. Cherry. My grandma had cherry tree. And the thing died like 10 years ago, and she still has cherries in the freezer from that tree. Anyway, no, we won't go into that, but she made cherry pie. How old are these trees? Anyway, so we get the tree. Okay, do the tree again. And somebody, the Bible says that we're to be a tree, right? The fruit of the righteous, listen, Proverbs, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. The fruit. So somebody takes fruit. So what do people get from you? What are they consuming from you? So when they eat your fruit or they're exposed to your fruit, what are they eating? Thank you. You can sit down. Is there a tree that produces fruit that we should not eat? Surely there's trees that produce fruit that somebody who understands fruit would say, you know, the horses eat that. Isn't there a horse apple or something? Have you seen those big green things? Yeah, hedge apples. I don't think we're supposed to eat those. I've never eaten one, but I've not seen horses eat them either. It's a lie. Squirrels eat them? Okay, we're not going to cut those up and just put them on the table and serve them to our friends, you know, as we have them over for supper or something. So as we in our life are making changes, listen, we're not going to be the kind of testimony that God wants us to be if we're conforming to our surroundings. God wants us to make transformations, which when we're transformed, we aren't the same kind of a person. We're not the same person anymore. And we're producing fruit. That no matter where you are, anybody who eats of your fruit, the fruit of your tree, which is your life, is something that will make them say a particular thing about you. And something's different about you. That's transformation. It's the fruit that we produce. It's who we are. And Saul is our example. Once, at one point in our text, we said this morning, he was breathing threatenings and slaughter. He lived with hate and envy. He was a Pharisee, grew up in a Pharisee's home, trained as a Pharisee, trained by Gamaliel. He was brought up in his family, in the most strict of religious ceremonial families. He was diligently educated. He was good at this thing. Watch now. He was good at conforming. He was good at it. He lived and he breathed Judaism. He was committed to the destruction of Christ and Christianity, but he met Christ and he was transformed. He was not the same person anymore. It says in verse 6, let's make some notes here and let's see what God has for us. Verse 6. He trembling and astonished. Well, let's just stop right there. What do we mean trembling and astonished? Well, he is committed to the destruction of Christians and to annihilate them from existence. He went into homes and he stole away any that were of this way to imprison them. He was ruthless, and now he's in the presence of Christ, and the Bible says he's trembling and he's astonished. Now, if there's anybody who was proud, it was Saul. Would you agree with that? Zealous and proud. But now he's trembling and astonished. He's humbled. So maybe we could just define it that way. Trembling. He went from proud, arrogance, to humility. Verse 7, look what it says. The men that journeyed with him stood what? Speechless. The idea is there's a level of humility. Speechless. Verse 9. And he was 3 days without sight, neither did eat nor drink. He was broken. He was humbled. His whole life had been turned upside down. Everything that he had ever known when he met Christ changed right in this moment. Remember the day you realized that you were a sinner and on your way to hell? That's an eye-opening experience, wouldn't you agree? Remember whenever you understood that you're condemned? Listen now. Let's remember our salvation. Remember the day you realized you're condemned? I remember. I was 12. I was under conviction. And I realized, I'm going to go to hell when I die. And I got under conviction. And that was an eye-opening. It felt scary to me. And I remember because at the moment, I was trembling and astonished. Okay, so I can relate with Paul in that regard. And it might be that if you put yourself in his shoes and remember the day when you got under conviction and God was leading you unto salvation, that it was a very humbling experience. Very humbling. I remember along the way sitting down and doing Bible studies and giving the gospel directly to people. I remember preaching for the past 4 years and having lots and lots of people come in and sit in the church and listen to the sermons, and in their pride, in their arrogance, cross their arms like this, and I can see it on their face when they say, I'm not going to change, I'm not going to go to the altar, I'm not going to make transformation. I remember seeing those times. I remember doing a message in the book of Romans when I first came here. Remember, Miss Marilyn, when I very first came, I preached through the book of Romans all the way through chapter 5. And that's whenever I realized, we need to do something else than Romans, okay? Because this is really hard. But in preaching through Romans, it was constantly, we're condemned, especially the first 5 chapters, we're condemned because of our sins. And I remember people coming in, Catholic people that would come in and sit in the church, never heard a sermon like this, never heard preaching like this, and I would preach these messages that it's not about our religious actions. It's not about what we do outwardly or ceremonially. It is who we are in our heart, and we need to make a decision of repentance and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I would see them cross their arms. Even at one point, I remember one man in the middle of my sermon, right dead smack in the middle of the sermon, standing up as to say, I'm through with this, and walked out. And I just kept on preaching. I've seen things like that. Which, by the way, he came back the next Sunday, and God's working, and it worked in his heart. But at that moment, he was angry, he was upset, he said, I don't want this. You know, there's a point whenever we get tired of acting like that, don't you think? Where we say, you know what? What good is acting like this in my pride? What good is this going to do me? And we say, I don't want this anymore. And we come to Christ, listen, trembling and astonished. It's humility. It's brokenness. It's to say, I no longer have the answers that I need without Christ. I'm willing to humble myself and come to Him. So in making transformation in our life and not being conformed, it really begins at this point when we are willing to eradicate the pride in our life and humble ourselves. To be humble. And so he was humbled, and it says, verse 6, that he said unto the Lord, "What wilt thou have me to do?" Now that's a total 180, wouldn't you agree? Well, not only, at first he's persecuting Christ, now he's saying, "God, what do you want? Christ, what do you want me to do?" And that is the change that God wants us to make. Because transformation, whenever we're prepared to make transformation in our life, as when we get saved, that's a total transformation. We're an entirely different person when we become born again. But now it's time for us to continue to make transformations. And to continue to make transformation, watch this, in our Christian life, is to have a humble attitude and to say these words, "What do you want me to do?" to our Father. What do you want me to do? It's to be submissive when we ask what God would have us to do. So now that's what Saul has said. And would you agree with me that right there is just hearing those words is an amazing transformation? He goes from this, if we could maybe visualize it today. Well, he just keeps on preaching or doing this or saying that. I'm just tired of it. You know, and leave that way. Or we could humble ourselves, get ourselves to the altar because our attitude is stinking rotten attitude, and humble ourselves and say these words. God, what do you want me to do? You see, we're ready to make transformations in our life when we have that attitude. And I'm speaking generally. I want to give you a tool here. I'm not going to tell you this evening exactly what transformations God wants you to make. I'm just simply going to give you a tool that if you apply this to your life in every area, God will make transformations in you. He'll have liberty to make transformations in you because you have a submissive attitude. And it's to say these words, God, what do you want me to do? What changes do you want to make in my life? What direction do you want me to go? Because I want to be willing. I want to be obedient to you. Yeah. Saul was a Christian killer 1 minute, and now, seriously, just minutes later, now he's doing what Christ wants him to do. This is an absolute total 180. I told you about Sean, a young person in the youth group, whenever I was youth pastor. He came to me on that night and he said, "Brother Ben," I'll never forget where I was standing at camp too, because it would just blew me out of the water. He said, "Brother Ben, God's called me to be a pastor." I said, "What?" I mean, I was like serious. I thought he was joking with me. I'm like, "Shut up, you know, you're messing with me." He was totally serious. "God's called me to be a preacher. That's what I want to do." That was transformation. And I want you to know, for the rest of camp and for months and months later, the kid was not the same person. He was not the same person. And it came from a humble attitude. A submissive attitude that said, "God, what do you want me to do? And I'll do it." He was submissive. Now that's what Saul was. And that's what Christ wants us to be. A different person that comes from a submissive attitude. Now let's take a look at verse 6 again. It says, "He trembling astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" That's submission. "The Lord said unto him, Arise, go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." Now verse 8. "And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were open, he saw no man. And they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus." Now I wanted to point those two things out to you, that first of all, he asked the Lord what God wanted him to do. And when he came to the Lord humbly, he asked God, "What do you want me to do?" A submissive, humble attitude. His arms weren't folded anymore. He didn't have an attitude in his heart. He said, "God, what do you want me to do?" And when he came with that attitude, I want you to know, God told him what to do. And that's the same that God will do for us. When we're humble and we ask God, "What do you want me to do? I want to have a humble attitude. I want to make transformation in my life. So God, what do you want me to do?" Well, God will lead us. God said, "Arise, go into the city." So Saul, what did he do? Whenever the conversation between him and God was over, the Bible says, verse 8, he arose. He did, first of all, what God said. Why would God say arise? Wouldn't you think that would be sort of obvious? Wouldn't you just think we could just not have that and just say, go into the city? I mean, he's not going to crawl into the city. He's going to arise. But God said, arise. And then it says, Saul arose. I think it's just another way God can say, do exactly what I say. And Saul got up, just like God said. But here's a problem. He cannot see. Now, I don't know about you, but that would be an extra challenge if I didn't have the ability to see. Now, of all the senses that we could lose, you know, my thought would be, which one would I want to lose if I had to lose one of my senses? You know, sometimes, like this afternoon, whenever Ethan woke up from his nap, I'm thinking to myself, if I didn't have the ability to hear right now, then that would be a good sense to lose. Would you agree that at times we feel that way? They're crying or whining or whatever. Well, Saul woke, you know, arose, but the Bible says he wasn't able to see. Why would God do that? And I think we'll see, you know, as we study through more, we see that there is things that God wanted to use with Saul not being able to see. But initially, here's what we see, is God wanted Saul to remain humble. He wanted him to remain humble. And for Saul to be obedient, totally obedient, he didn't just arise. He had to go into the city. But now for him to go into the city, he has to have somebody help him. Now, this is crazy to me to think about. It's crazy to think about what Saul did here. But the Bible says that he was led by the hand of the soldiers. So he had to be led by the hand to go and be obedient to what God wants him to do, what God wanted him to do. So that's humility. He was humble. And whatever it took, he was going to be obedient to God. Now, in our life, God leads us. And he wants us to make transformation. And he'll tell us what he wants us to do. And it's not complicated. Listen close. I'm almost done. It's not complicated what God wants us to do. Because all it is obedience to the Lord. But I want you to know, at times, to make the steps and to do what God wants us to do, it requires us to be submissive and humble. Because, you know, listen, especially us men, we don't like it if somebody has to hold our hand. Okay, and I have the whole, okay, we're going to hold hands and pray. There's some of you guys who are like, man, really? Okay, you know, it's not into the holding of hands thing. And it's, you know, it's a humbling thing to hold hands, even when we pray, you see. Well, what if you needed help? You know, just to be obedient to God, you needed somebody to hold your hand. Just so we can be obedient to God, we're going to need some leadership. We're going to need some help here. It's humbling as God is wanting us to make transformations in our life. We have to remain humble and submissive. And just allow, listen now, just allow that to make transformations in our life, it might require us to do some to be humble in ways that initially aren't going to be the most comfortable thing to us. And allow ourselves in that humble position to be led by the hand. It's okay. It's okay if you need somebody to lead you by the hand. Well, I don't need anybody's help. Well, that's not a good attitude. And we need to be humble and submissive as we make transition in our life. Transformation. Okay? So God wants us to be transformed. Saul was transformed. And so how do we do this? Well, we don't make transformation by just conforming, is that what transformation is? No, transformation is not becoming like your surroundings. It's being an entirely different person. We're not just looking for a person to act better. No. We're wanting a person to become an entirely different person that is changing from the inside, and it's working its way to the outside. Listen, an apple tree is an apple tree, and it produces apples because that's what it is from the inside out, and that's what God wants us to be. There's something wrong with the tree that is an apple that's supposed to be an apple tree, but whenever it grows up, it has something else on it. I'm not eating that. Okay, it's supposed to be apples. I'm not going to eat whatever's growing up on this tree if it's not apples. It's not healthy. It's not right. God wants us to make transformations in our life. And at times it's going to require us, no, it always will require us to be humble and submissive, to be obedient to the Lord. But there's one thing that if you have in your heart and in your life, then you'll always be prepared to make transformation. In every phase of your life, you know what that is? And this is what you can remember from this message and make application. Every single day in your life, whenever you need God's leadership and transformation to take place in your life, which we all need. And it's this: Lord, what will thou have me to do? You remain humbled and willing to ask that question with a humble heart. God, what do you want me to do? You genuinely ask that question. Then now you're ready for transformation. Okay? God, what do you want me to do? Hey, listen, you want me to change my music, God? Not because I'm going to be this way at school or this way at church or this way. God, what do you want me to do? How about that? Is that okay? Because if you just say those words, well, what does Pastor Ben want me to do? No. What does so-and-so, what is my parents, what is this? What? No. God, what do you want me to do? How we dress, what we look like, the clothes that we wear. You know, I think we talked about music. Well, what about what we do? Because, you know, we conform. We can conform, can't we? So I've heard, oh man, youth group, parents have pretty strict rules. And parents, you should have strict rules with your kids, you know, what they wear. I mean, I had daughters, heavens to Betsy. There's a certain stuff that's out there. I had daughters, they're not wearing it. The end of the story. The end. Here's this: once upon a time there was a girl, and she dressed the way that her dad said. The end. Wasn't that a good story? Yeah. Well, some girls don't like that story. And so they wear dress the way dad says, but then whenever they get where they're going, then they change to conform. And see, that's not... We don't want that. Now listen, what can help you with that? God, what do you want me to do? Well, what does God say? So, about children in particular. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So mom and dad have rules, you do it. Understand? What about us as Christians? We need to make transformation. We talked about clothes, we talked about music. Listen, there's all kinds of transformation that God wants to do in our life. And if we're humble, then... And if we have a humble attitude and we're willing to be submissive and be led of the hand even at times, then God will make these transformation in our life. And they pour forth from a heart that says these words and we'll be done. God, what do you want me to do? And if you get that and you apply that, then you're going to be just fine. No, not what does my friend want me to do, or what does they want me to do, or what does this person want me to do, or how should I act around this crowd or that crowd? No. God, what do you want me to do? And if you answer that question, transformation will take place. And that's all we need. God, what do you want me to do? What an example. Thank you, God, for this example that we have in Saul in his transformation. Father, this evening, we are grateful for your word. And Lord, just as simple as we said, but can be tonight a profound thing, because it might be that we needed to hear or be reminded of this simple truth: transformation because of humility, because of a heart that says, God, what do you want? Not what I want, what do you want? So I pray tonight, Father, that you would help us to, Lord, be under conviction. God, that you would speak to our hearts, that we would recognize potential pride in our life, that we wouldn't have the folded arms attitude, but that we would say, God, what do you want? I just want to do what you want me to do. And Lord, help us to always have that attitude. I know at one point, Lord, in our life, it could be easy. Oh, well, you want me to do this, God? That's what I'll do. But then other times, Father, we struggle because there's changes we don't want to make or steps to take that you're leading that we don't want to do. So I pray that you'll help us to always to be humble and submissive and to always have the attitude, God, what do you want me to do? And tonight we pray this in your precious name. Amen.